This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, it's Sharp Money. On a Monday, we open up a new week, and this week is special, not just here on Sharp Money, but VSIN in total, because we've got the guy dropping early and so much work behind the scenes, including Wes Reynolds, who's going to join us here on Sharp Money. Thrilled that Wes is in studio. Love Wes. Good to see him in person. But we've got our guy dropping on Thursday. So across the programming all week here on VSIN, every show once an hour is going to relate back to the guide. First hour, Amal Shaw went in on the Jacksonville Jaguars. This hour, Wes, as we say hi, of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Wes Reynolds joins us in studio VSIN tonight, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. Great to see you, Wes. Wes is going to tackle the Jags, who we just discussed, also the AFC South as a division in total. Hi, Wes. How are you? Good to see you, Patrick.
Patrick, good to see you, man. Long time no see.
It's great to see you, man. Love Wes Reynolds, one of the sharpest guys around. And let's just start with the Jags right off the jump. You mentioned that first place schedule, so it's going to tighten up a little bit for them. I like that you're zagging a little bit. You lean the under. So the under is, of course, the total set at 9.5 for the Jags. You will get the plus 130 on the under. You're leaning under. Why don't we start with the Jags here?
Yeah, Patrick, I did end up actually betting under 10. I found it in town, under 10 plus 105. Right. Didn't get the 10.5s that were necessarily out there in the springtime. But I'm not trying to totally throw cold water on this team, because I do think Doug Peterson has it going in the right direction. But it's really just a market overreaction that I'm playing against here. And that's why I picked the Titans, and we could get into them momentarily, to win this division. The division really just broke for Jacksonville last year, if you recall. This team was 3-7 to start. They play the Baltimore Ravens. They're 3-7, so they score a touchdown, I think, with like 14 seconds left to go in the game. And then Doug Peterson's like, well, we're 3-7. I'm trying to establish a culture here, so let's go for two. They get it, so you're like, okay, momentum is there with Jacksonville. And then they get boat raced by Detroit by about four touchdowns the following week. But it was just, I think they got a lot of breaks. They got to face a Tennessee team on the road that clearly was banged up, especially on defense. No team, by the way, in the NFL, if you look at that adjusted games loss metric for Football Outsiders, lost more starts on defense than Tennessee. Then they come back against Dallas. It was 27-10 in the middle of the third quarter. They get that walk-off interception return from Rayshon Jenkins. They get to go play the Jets with Zach Wilson and Chris Streveler at quarterback. Then you play Houston, who had the second worst record in the league. And then you get Tennessee at home in the winner-take-all game. And Joshua Dobbs, by the way, led Jacksonville on the road in the fourth quarter. This was a guy that was on the practice squad in Detroit. So I just think everything kind of broke for this team last year, and maybe the market's a little bit too far ahead of them.
When you look at Tennessee, you mentioned them, you like them to win the division. Are you concerned at all about the quarterback situation? Because Tannehill has not been able to stay healthy. You alluded to Dobbs playing. But overall, in terms of how do you see Tannehill in that offense?
Yeah, and that's going to be the key, obviously, Amal, is if Tannehill can stay healthy. This is a contract year. They've drafted Will Levis, of course, in the second round. You don't draft a guy in the second round if you don't think he could eventually emerge as your starter. So, look, I think maybe Tannehill, this is kind of like the kick in the butt that he needs, where it's like, okay, I'm either playing for my job here in Nashville or I'm playing for a job somewhere else. We know that they're going to be able to run the ball, and I think getting the kid out of Tulane in the third round, that's going to take some of the load off Derrick Henry. They remade the offensive line. I like what they did at tackle with Andre Dillard and then the rookie Peter Skoronski in the first round out of Northwestern. And I'm a little concerned of the receiver position. I think that that's an area of weakness for Jacksonville, even though I think Burks is going to be better. But it's really the defense that I think is going to be the strength of this team. They can run the ball and they can stop the run. They were number one in the league stopping the run last year. Jeffrey Simmons signed to a big deal, an extension. And then the secondary, I think, is finally healthy. They were just pulling guys off of Broadway Street in Nashville to play for these guys last year. So now they're finally healthy. And I just thought 425 was an overreaction for a team that had won 9 games or more each of the last previous 4 years. They just got so unlucky with injuries last year.
I do want to talk about the Titans. I just want to circle back quickly on Jacksonville. Wes Reynolds in studio. The guy drops on Thursday. Looking forward to it. Wes does so much work. It's not just the show that he hosts nightly with Matt Eumanns. It's also the golf, these type of guides, it's invaluable what Wes does. And so let's talk about Jacksonville. You talked about that schedule tightening up. They're going to play Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, San Francisco. So again, the schedule is going to get tighter. They also had a lot of injury luck, as you note in the guide, as far as second fewest adjusted games loss. And that's always fickle year to year. You mentioned they're the rightful favorite in division, but they're now up to minus 165 in division. It's a terrible division. We understand it's young and teams rebuilding. But what would concern you? I know you went over it a little bit with Jacksonville, but what are the main concerns about this team? We expect the offense to be prolific in year two with Peterson.
The offensive line, I think, is the concern. And I think you're right, Patrick. This team is going to score points. Very good skill positions with Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Engram. They add Calvin Ridley. They add Brenton Strange, the second-round tight end out of Penn State. Tank Bigsby from Auburn can help in the short yardage because they couldn't run the ball really that well in short yardage. And I think it was because of the offensive line. Not one offensive lineman on this Jacksonville roster had a PFF grade over 50. In the 50 percentile last season, including Brandon Scherff, who Trent Baalke, the GM down there in Duval, gave a ton of money to. Cam Robinson, who knows what that PED suspension is going to be. It could be maybe two games. It could be several games for that matter. So the rookie Anton Harrison, who they drafted in the first round out of Oklahoma, he's going to have to play. So I think the offensive line is a question mark, and I think the defense, at least up front, even though they're very solid against the run, they were 27th in sack rate last year. Josh Allen, who was the seventh overall pick in 2019, had only six sacks last year. Trayvon Walker, just 3.5. They went on athletic ability instead of production. If they would have went on production, they would have drafted Aiden Hutchinson. And then the inside linebacker that they drafted in the first round, Devin Lloyd, he got benched for a couple games last season, just showed a lack of awareness. So I worry about this team. And then I don't think they addressed the secondary very much, considering they were 30th in pass defense last year.
When you look at the rest of this division, Houston and Indianapolis, especially you're a Colts fan, Anthony Richardson comes in. First of all, give me your take on what you think of Richardson in the draft by the Colts, and then kid this team with Jonathan Taylor and Richardson's running ability be a threat in the division.
I'm slowly coming around on the Anthony Richardson pick. I wasn't down on it on draft night. I would consider it lukewarm on this because, look, we know that this guy only had 13 starts, and the accuracy is certainly a problem. 54.7% completion is not going to get it done in the National Football League. I don't care how athletic you are, but that athleticism is, I think, the big selling point. You bring in Shane Steichen, who obviously worked with Jalen Hurts, so I think you've got at least an offensive guy in play to work with this guy. Taylor, can he return from that ankle injury? They're still a little short on receiver. I think Michael Pittman's more of a really good number two instead of a number one, but it's all going to depend on the offensive line, Amal. This was the highest paid offensive line in the National Football League last season, and they gave up 60 sacks. Jim Irsay is not exactly getting an ROI here, a return on investment. Ryan Kelly was terrible. Bernard Raymond was a rookie, so a rookie is going to be a turnstile at left tackle more often than not. And then Quentin Nelson was hurt, and Quentin Nelson was even down last season. So this offensive line has got to return from where they were a couple years ago.
If Wes Reynolds was running the room their draft night, what would you have done if you were running the Colts draft?
I
know I'm asking you to think back.
You had to take a quarterback. I thought maybe Stroud had a possibility to slip, and I thought he was like the safe choice, assuming Bryce Young was going to go number one, which he did. I thought Stroud was kind of like the safer pick, but they elected to go big here, and they elected to take a chance. Everybody was like, okay, it's going to be Levis, and then Levis ends up falling out of the first round, so... You know, you kind of felt like, Patrick, eventually the merry-go-round has to stop because they tried this. They had Brissett, they had Rivers, they had Carson Wentz, they had Matt Ryan, all these guys after the Andrew Luck retirement. So it's like eventually you just got to go with the young guy and you got to take your lumps instead of trying to, you know, put a square peg in a round hole every year in a quarterback.
You know, to me,
talking AFC South with Wes Reynolds. Go ahead, Amal.
I was going to say, I was not a big fan of the pick, But I still think you mentioned that the key for this team, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback, is the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Until they can show some consistency there. You've got, I don't know where you guys come out on Jonathan Taylor. I think he's a top five running back.
Absolutely.
I think he's unbelievable. His ability in short yardage, protect the football. He helps this team. And then the defense is not on the field as much when you're running the ball effectively with him.
Yeah, and that's why they were 28th in points allowed, them all, 25.1. Because the defensive line is really good. You look at those two tackles, DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart. That's probably about as good of a duo as you're going to get. Certainly top five. Quiddy Pay's got to take that next step. The kid they drafted out of Michigan, 10 sacks in 27 games. But Shaq Leonard, if he's healthy, he is such a difference maker. He is the guy. He had that nerve issue in his back. He says he's healthy. This was a guy that was a three-time first-team All-Pro. He's the leader of the defense. They got some young guys, though, in the secondary this year with Gilmore gone, Isaiah Rogers likely getting suspended for the news that came out a few weeks ago. So that's going to be the work in progress for Gus Bradley on that defense. But I think that front seven can be very good.
Colts are set at 6.5 at DraftKings, Wes Reynolds. You got to pay a little juice, $1.35 to the over on the 6.5. Your instinct is what with the Colts?
Yeah, I'm not going to bet it, but I do lean slightly to the over. I think early in the season, it's going to be Minshew that's going to start at least for the first few games. And look, that record is not sterling as a starter. Keep in mind, a lot of it was down in Jacksonville when they were at the bottom of the league, but 8-16. But he's good enough, I think, to at least keep you in games and not get you blown out. I think the schedule is manageable. They only have 5 playoff teams from last season on it. So small lean to 6.5, but there's still a lot of questions about this team.
Okay. Wes Reynolds joins us in studio. We're thankful he drove in today. We've got the guide popping on Thursday. Look forward to it. We'll continue. I've got more questions about the Titans, and also want to see what you have to say about the Texans. We've got a 6.5 on their win total showing over at DraftKings. We'll come back and discuss the AFC South odds with Wes Reynolds. Also talk about some of his wild card teams, one that may surprise you as we continue along here on Sharp Money. Remember, the guide, it's available for as low as $19.99 or $175 through the Super Bowl for the summer special. Go to vsin.com/subscribe.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, more with Wes Reynolds here in a second, but an opportunity to tell you about the betting splits, which are exclusively over at vsin.com. Money and bets for every game, updated every 10 minutes. Today's games and future events as well. Make sure you check out the betting splits exclusively from DraftKings, by the way, updated every 10 minutes. As we got you back here, Sharp Money. It's a big week for us here on VSIN, the sports betting network. I know it's summer for you, but it's time to focus on the NFL. Early this year, the NFL betting guide drops on Thursday. Wes Reynolds, obviously, always a big part. This is the problem. Wes, I tried to tell you in person when we had beers, it's you have to be less sharp, okay? And just dumb it down a little bit. Dumb it down, because they've got you on long shots. You've got your own show. And then every time we throw together a guide, you can't have a guide without the sharpest dude at the network on whether it be college basketball, college football, the NFL. So I blame you. You should blame yourself for working so much. How about that?
Yeah, and well, it depends on your perspective. I appreciate the kind words. If you listen to the Twitter machine, some don't share your assessment of me, Patrick, but I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Wait, hold on. That bastion of happiness, Twitter.com, is not being nice to you? You've got to be kidding me.
I know. That's just the way it is.
Did you get wrapped up? I heard you talking a little bit about the parade. Did you get wrapped up at all in VGK's run this year?
I went to game one of the Stanley Cup Finals, and look, standing room only, but obviously a great experience. The parade was a fun watch. I did not make my way down there because of the traffic, because we were talking about this over the break. It was like a 2-block parade, basically, Patrick, because that's all that's not under construction on the Las Vegas Strip due to the Formula One race that's going to be held the week before Thanksgiving out here.
Wow. I knew there was construction. I didn't realize it was that bad. Wait till they start building a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's
make it even worse. Yes.
Yes. We got a budding city there in Las Vegas, which is blowing up. The Tennessee Titans. So you mentioned the Titans at 7.5. I jokingly call it the first year general manager angle, and there's some merit to it. And what I mean by that is there's a free year when Carthon comes in to run the Titans, and kind of a team with the big tickets at quarterback and running back, it's a bit in flux.
right? You've got a guy that needs to make evaluations. Sometimes ownership will say, hey, there's no pressure here. You got a year to kind of put the blueprint together. I think that adds something to this. And you do like the Titans in division, and because everybody's doubting them. 7.5, remember, until last year, they had won that division 2 years in a row. But they do bring back Tannehill. So many questions surrounding Derrick Henry. Let's delve a little bit more into the Titans, because again, 7.5 over at DraftKings, and the over is +110 here.
Yeah, and I like the over here a little bit. This is not a team I'm really in love with. I just think that they're going to get some positive regression due to the injuries, especially on defense. I like the change at offensive coordinator, even though Tim Kelly is a first-time play caller, but it wasn't working with Todd Downing. And if you remember, no. Todd Downing was with when the Raiders were still in Oakland. It didn't work out there. Receiving core is still thin, but the tight end is really a playmaker in this offense, who I like, Chig Okonkwo. 14.1 yards a catch. I think he's the most explosive player that they've had in the position. But it's really the defense that has me higher on them maybe than the market. I mentioned about Jeffrey Simmons being back. They led the league against the run. They were the worst in the league in terms of yardage through the air at 275. But that was largely because Harold Landry III tore his ACL before the season. And now he's back. You look at the secondary, Kevin Byard, still one of the better safeties in the league. Imani Hooker, very good in coverage. They also bring in Sean Murphy Bunting out of Tampa Bay. Now, he's had his own injury issues. That's like a common theme, basically, with this secondary. Mm-hmm. Christian Fulton, Caleb Farley. Remember, he was a first-round pick out of Virginia Tech. Poor guy, can't stay healthy. This team, look, they have their flaws. They still have some questions on the O-line, even though I like the two tackles that they add this year, and then the history of injuries in the secondary. But like I mentioned, 9 or more games they've won each of the 4 seasons prior to 2022. Mike Vrabel, by the way, 20-19. Now, this is straight up, not against the number, straight up as an underdog. So I think he's better when he's doubted a little bit. So I thought that this team was very undervalued in the market, just overreaction to that swoon that they had at the end of the season when they were the walking wounded.
I think you bring up a good point with Vrabel. I think he's a tremendous coach, but guys, when you look at it, the talent has always been inconsistent, whether it's on one side of the ball or the other side. When you look at this Tennessee team, the lack of consistency there. Real quickly, Wes, and then we'll get on to some other bets, but just kind of give us your take on the division order, how you see this playing out.
Yeah, I'd say Tennessee 1, Jacksonville 2, Indy 3, Houston 4. I think Houston is going to show some improvement, though, this season. Look, they're finally, you know, not changing coaches every year. They had David Culley, and then they had Lovie Smith. Now you got a young guy in DeMeco Ryans, his first time as a head coach, but they gave him a 6-year deal. He's a guy, obviously, that had the best defense in the league in San Francisco, so brings in Jimmy Ward to kind of captain that defense. They're still a little down on talent. Matt Burke's going to be the new DC, and then the new OC is Bobby Slowick, who DeMeco Ryans brings with him from San Francisco. Slowick, part of that Shanahan coaching tree, dating all the way back to Mike Shanahan in Washington. So if you're looking to see, okay, how is this offense going to attack? Probably some baby steps with C.J. Stroud. They're probably going to run the ball a lot more than they're going to throw it. Pierce had a good rookie season before he got hurt with the ankle injury in week 13. Devin Singletary from Buffalo, I think, is a good pass catcher out of the backfield. The talent at receiver could still be a little bit better. It's like, do they really have a true number one guy? No. But the offensive line, especially at tackle with Tunsil and Howard, and then Shaq Mason coming in from Tampa Bay, is very good. They're going to be better. How many more wins? I don't know. But this is a team probably like late in the season that's going to win outright at least once or twice as an underdog, and they're going to be getting big numbers because they're going to give you an effort in all 17 games. Look, they gave you an effort in week 18 last year when everybody was telling them not to. So this is a team that I think Ryans will have them play hard every week.
And if you think about the Texans, who are sitting at 6.5 on the board, let you know which way the juice is going over at DraftKings under. So juiced up a little bit under $1.30. If you think about them, you mentioned the wide receiver position. How about Mechie? He missed, and it was unfortunate, obviously, a horrible situation with the kid out of Alabama who missed his rookie season with leukemia. It appears he's fought that off, which is a blessing and great news. But they kind of, Mechie, you can add him to this year's draft. Of course, they go Stroud overall number 2. Do we think, boys, that Stroud is starting week 1 under center for the Texans?
I think so. I think the offensive line with Laremy Tunsil there, I think they'll be well, pretty well protected on that side. I think overall he'll have an opportunity to get a start unless he has a bad preseason.
Yeah, look, it's easy to move on, I think, from Davis Mills. This is the last year of his contract. C.J. Stroud is going to be the guy. What you mentioned about the receiver, Patrick, look, if Mechie can be what they drafted, then obviously that's a bonus that we don't maybe necessarily anticipate. But they bring in Robert Woods because Brandon Cooks was traded to Dallas. Robert Woods, good number two. Nico Collins can get the jump balls over the middle. I do like the rookies they drafted actually deep in the first round. Tank Dell out of Houston, Xavier Hutchinson out of Iowa State. But probably C.J. Stroud's best friend in the passing game is going to be Dalton Schultz, the tight end from the Cowboys. He had only eight touchdowns, but he had three in the postseason. So, you know, he gets kind of the chance to be a guy where he was splitting time in Dallas.
And Patrick, I don't play fantasy football, but I'll tell you a name to keep an eye out for that was pretty effective in Dallas that's under the radar that comes to the Texans is Noah Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But the Texans at 8-1, the Colts at 5.5-1, there's just something askew. Also, the Colts at 6.5 on their season win total and the Texans, a lot of that has to do with in division, of course, beating up on each other. I think they're a little inflated with those two numbers. The Titans at 7.5. I'm coming around with you, Wes. Honestly, that my takeaway from this conversation and reading a little advanced copy of the guide, the Titans sitting 7.5. I think I disrespected their track record by doubting them and looking to the under there.
Yeah, because look, this is a team that I've bet against a fair share, especially when they're favorites. Mike Vrabel, not really great in the favorite role, but pretty good in the underdog role. It's just regression. Like the Jaguars should be the favorite, but to me, they should be like $1.25 or $1.30, and Tennessee should be closer to like 3-1. You're getting them at 4.25 right now at DraftKings. I think there's a lot of talent still on this defense, and they're going to probably play a lot of lower scoring games. But if you can run the ball and stop the run, and I know in this passing NFL, this modern day NFL, that seems to like gone the way of the Edsel, but you've got to be able to run the ball and still stop the run here. And Tennessee can do that as well as anybody.
Before we let you go, we just have a minute. I know in the guide, your partner there, Matt Eumanns, is dubious about the Lions at 9.5 wins. This is personal. This is selfish. Where are you on the Lions at 9.5?
Yeah, and I think they might make the wild card, but I still think that this is big hype. And the team that's really being sold in this division is the Packers. You know, you don't have 12 there anymore, but you still got a group of young receivers, a good offensive line, especially if Bakhtiari's healthy. The defense is at least slightly above average, I believe, especially if Gary comes back healthy. But, yeah, I think they're overselling the Packers a little bit, but the Lions are going to be the most explosive offense in the division. Minnesota is also down to 8.5. We know that they were due some regression. They overachieved, so I'm not as high on the Vikings either. But I think the Lions are at least a wild card.
Wes, I'm lecturing you now. Take a vacation. You deserve it. Wes Reynolds, the guy drops on Thursday. A hell of a job. VSiN tonight, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. Check out Wes and Matt Reynolds. We're coming back. 3 up, 3 down.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings, head over there right now. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonuses instantly. It's pretty simple. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. So download the DraftKings app. Use that promo code VSIN, and you're going to get $150 in bonuses instantly when you bet $5. Okay, we welcome you back. Great job, Wes Reynolds, for stopping by, kind of helping to promote the NFL betting guide, which drops coming up this Thursday. There's so much information. You're going to be surprised. It really is just a wealth of knowledge. So make sure you check it out. Go to VSiN.com to subscribe. When you subscribe today, you're going to be first in the list. You'll get the guide as soon as it drops on Thursday. Amal Shaw is here. Of course, Dustin Sweetelson as well. I'm Patrick Maher. It's Sharp Money. VSiN, as we open up a new week, we've got Aaron Holterman at the top of the hour. Just a hint, he can't quit his Reds. He's going to be betting on the Reds. So we'll get to them in just a little bit. I thought we'll get, I know the big guy wants to get into the baseball. We will do that coming up in just about 8 minutes. I wanted to have a little fun. I think the offseason and the summer in particular, especially this early, which is June 26th, I think it's a good opportunity for a primer. Like, where do these teams stand? And one of the themes that's popped up here on Sharp Money is running backs, because Amal and I have disparate takes on running backs. I say I don't value them. Of course, Amal goes a little bit the other way. But I thought we could do a like, love, loathe as far as the running back situation for each team. Okay, now again, Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs are holding out. We'll see what happens with their contract status. Tony Pollard was franchised. Players get pissed when you franchise them. Dalvin Cook is a free agent. Jonathan Taylor's looking for a new contract. So there's a lot in flux with the running back position. But let's just have some fun. And we'll go like, love, loathe. Amal, we'll start with you, and we'll start in the AFC East. And we'll start with Buffalo. James Cook. Speaking of Cook, you like, you love, and we're just going RB1. Like, for example, when we get to New Orleans, remember Jamal Williams, who had 17 touchdowns on the ground for the Lions last year, he's now backing up Alvin Kamara. So that running back group is freaking tremendous with New Orleans, but we're just going RB1, and we'll start with the AFC East and Buffalo and James Cook here, Amal.
I'm biased here. I loved him at Georgia. I thought he should have been the starter there. I think he's very talented. I don't think he's quite as talented as his brother, but I'm going to say for NFL purposes, I'm going to say like.
Yeah, I think I'd go like with Cook as well, big guy. A little too early to go love.
He's a like with the potential for love. So he's definitely someone you take out for 3 or 4 dates.
Yes. You do splurge on somebody like a James Cook. I totally agree with you. Breece Hall is up next. Now, before the injury last year, I think we would all agree where we were headed to love status. We could still say love based on what we saw with the Jets running back, who was a rookie last year.
I'm going to go with love. I think this kid's a difference maker. When you look at this Jets team when he was in the lineup compared to when he wasn't, and the injury, you mentioned it, Patrick, was key for them offensively. Now you got a quarterback like Rodgers, who's such a threat in the passing game. Garrett Wilson has emerged. And then you've got a running back who's very capable. The one thing I like about him, he can run the ball. Remember, he played at Iowa State. Cold weather is not going to be a factor, even playing in Buffalo. I think he'll be just fine and a tremendous addition for this offense coming back healthy.
YPC for your boy Breece Hall, big guy, 80 carries last year, 5.8. You love to see it. And again, that wasn't a dominant offensive front. So 80 carries, a nice little sample size, 5.8 as far as yards per carry, can catch the ball out of the backfield. I love.
Yeah, coming off the injury, I want to just say like and limit my expectations, but he was so good in the short stint we got in year number one from him. I'm actually going to lean love as well.
Yeah, I think it's a pot. He's an exciting player. He really is. Okay, let's go here. Now, again, it's a team that has a million running backs and a coach that likes to run the football. He coordinated the run game with San Francisco, and that's the Dolphins. They list Mostert as their running back one. So let's go. Raheem Mostert, like, love, loathe here, Amal.
I like because of the speed, but also this is a guy with a great average when you look at his career. 5.4 yards per carry. I think that makes him dangerous. Just the problem is the health and durability. He's never had more than 181 carries per season. In a season, excuse me.
100% durability is the issue. I'll go like with Mostert, big guy.
Yeah, I mean, if we were ranking like the situation and the fit and the scheme, I love the Miami rushing scheme. I love everything they do. It's that Shanahan system, and Mostert's proven in San Francisco and now here in Miami where he fits in well there. I love his big burst. He's a big play guy. I like him, almost love him, but we have to say like.
A lot of Patriot love in the market lately. I'm not so sure why, but Stevenson.
I think they're flying under the radar. They might be a sleeping giant, or they might stink, one or the other.
You hold on. Let's start with the first part of your statement there. The big guy getting feisty on a Monday. Why do you feel as though the Patriots, and of course, if you pick one team to fly under the radar, it's going to be the New England Patriots who have dominated the league for 25 years. Go ahead.
And their fans don't shut up and are very loud about things. No, I totally understand. I understand where you're coming from, but there's actually someone in charge calling offensive plays who knows how to do that this year. And I think that we can't understate how bad the situation was a year ago. And I think
they had a bad defensive coordinator calling offense last year.
And a special teams coordinator.
It's not a great strategy.
And Joe Judge, a special teams coordinator at quarterback coach.
I find it interesting that Belichick really didn't get called out for it. Any other coach that would do that, they would be absolutely ridiculed to no end.
I have to protect Michael Lombardi, who I worked with for years. Anytime we would bring that up, he would just kind of sit there. And again, you're going to protect your friends. And Lombardi's a good friend, so he protected Belichick. But I think even he was just puzzled by the like, you couldn't have a conversation with somebody with a plain face and be like, so Patricia running the offense along with Joe Judge, that seems like a good idea, right? And then let the person fill in the blank. The only person with an ego the size of California that thought it could work, could is the operative word, was Bill Belichick. I mean, it was a disaster from the start.
And with a second-year quarterback who showed promise his rookie season.
The sophomore slump was legit for your boy Mac, and I don't think it had anything to do with him.
No, I don't.
I think he missed out on some talent, and also he got coached down. We got to coach him up, kids. He got coached down. Patricia was a terrible defensive coordinator, a terrible head coach. And he said, you know what? You can't do anything. Let's try, Mr. Mechanical Engineer. Let's try and throw you at offensive coordinator. Disastrous. Okay, I'm going slow here. So let's pick up the pace a little bit. We'll go to AFC North. J.K. Dobbins,
wait,
Baltimore.
We didn't do Stevenson. We didn't do Stevenson.
Oh, Stevenson, I'm sorry. Yep.
I was going to go love, but I've been outruled. We'll say like.
Okay, let's go AFC North. J.K. Dobbins. I love Dobbins if he could stay healthy.
I would agree with you there, but his injury is injuries are a concern for me, so I'm going to go with like.
Yeah, I'm okay. Just a like on Dobbins. I think he's a good running back, but I think he benefits from being in that Ravens offense too.
Okay. I've been outruled. It's all good. Joe Mixon, interesting. There were questions about whether or not they'd move on from him. Off-field issues, which nothing new for Mixon, but on the field, where are you guys at?
I'm going to go with like to close to love. It's like Dobbins. Dobbins, for me, the knock is the injuries. Nothing else. You're right on his talent. Mixon, to me, the concern is just a little bit of the off-field when you're paying a guy big-time money, but he can catch the ball really well out of the backfield.
Big guy, you're 38. You've been dating for, I don't know, 6 years. You have to decide marry or break up. That's kind of Joe Mixon, right?
I
don't know if the analogy makes sense, but like Amal said, you're somewhere in between. Are you going to jump or you like him or you love him?
I actually love his game, but I think he might be a horrific person. So I'm just going to go from love to like. That knocks him down.
Oh, no, for sure. For sure. Horrific human.
So but I can't rely on him. I can't rely on him. As much as I think he is a do everything running back in today's game, I have to knock him down to at least a like.
Let me clarify, just to be fair, based on what we've heard and what's been reported. If that's
allegedly
all false, then potentially a great person. Yeah. Nick Chubb at Cleveland, I think we all agree. Love, correct?
There's no question.
Love Chubb. Yeah.
The next one is fascinating. Najee Harris. I can't say bust because of the usage. My gosh, they're going to grind this guy into the ground by year five. But I see nothing that titillates me when I watch Najee Harris. And I know he's better than what my eyes tell me, Amal, but I'm just like, I can't say bust, but I certainly can't say love. I'll say like for Harris with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, I got to tell you, I'm like to love on this guy. I think he runs hard. He plays hard. He can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. I so far, these eight running backs, I don't have a single person that is below a like. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Big guy, you are the difference maker here. Love, let's say love for Amal, like for me, Najee Harris.
He's right on the cusp of love, but I just need a little bit more whining and dining.
Okay. All right. So,
like.
The one thing that's like, negative with Najee is the yards per carry.
But, like, a lot of that is situation-based. Sure. Like, it's a tough spot with a young quarterback and the year before, whatever that was at quarterback, like. At one point, Mitchell Trubisky under center. Like, there's a lot working against a running back in those situations.
When we start making excuses, it sounds like we're trying to excuse him into love, but he's a like player.
He's
Let's
a like.
Be fair.
Just a like.
Okay. You know what we'll do? We've got our buddy Aaron Halterman, but we still have plenty of time. Let's do this. Let's continue with the list. It's a little fun. And we can even get into some of the backups. Some of these situations, like I mentioned, New Orleans is in a great spot. If Kamara has a breakout or a bounce back year from what happened last year, and that's a team in the Saints that's got a lot of buzz right now. You can read about the Saints in our guide, which drops Thursday. We'll continue. Like, love, loathe, running back edition here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Dee Sweetelson. Did you know it's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early. So it's coming out this Thursday, June 29th. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. I think it's just a great idea editorially wise, however you say that, to get it out early, because there's just so much information. What we'll do is we'll kind of update it right before the season starts, but this is going to be our proper guide. You get in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro. It's the only way to get it. For as low as $19, reserve your copy of the guide. Sign up today. Do it now. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's going to be like Christmas, Kwanzaa, or Hanukkah morning on Thursday when we drop that guide into your inbox. As we welcome you back, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, we're just about 4 weeks out from training camp. I bring it up because we do have a new team for Hard Knocks. Now, the last time we saw the Jets on Hard Knocks, it was Rex Ryan and Tannenbaum just absolutely shoveling peanut M&Ms into their gullets, and Rex Ryan running around with the foot fetish talking about, let's go have a G-damn snack. That was the last time we saw the Jets. You're getting the Jets again this year, although I don't think they're going to be as happy about it. If you've noticed, I mean, the Lions, Dan Campbell's just happy to be anywhere. So he was in a good mood. You had the assistants last year doing horrific shtick for the Lions, but the teams, for the most part, this many seasons into Hard Knocks, are not excited about having, I guess, the security breached with the cameras coming in. But it's going to be the Jets. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers. So just wanted to give you that heads up. And with training camp starting right around 4 weeks from now, what we like to do is just give you a primer. So this is really just a positional primer on running backs, like, love, loathe. As Amal mentioned, you're not really going to have any loathes because these are RB1s. You know, if you start talking about the running back units for each team or grouping for each team, you could have maybe a potential loathe, but we're just talking about running back one and talking about where they stand in the pecking order. Okay, so let's continue. We are now on to the AFC South, boys. Like, love, loathe. Pierce with Houston, tremendous last year. Let's go ahead, Damian Pierce.
I'm going to go with like. I'm not going to go with love. I got to see for a longer amount of time. He was a good player at Florida, but he's done a nice job so far with Houston.
Okay, big guy. I'm going to go like as well with Mr. Pierce.
Although I do like
that team. Just let me just say this. I'm sorry to interrupt you. When we were talking about the season win totals, remember, I think a lot of these, like the AFC South teams at the bottom, are in, they're inflated because of the weakness of the division, because you're playing six games in division, and you look and you see Indianapolis at 6.5 and you see Houston at 6.5. It does feel inflated, but always remember the division opponents. Sorry, big guy. Go ahead.
I loathe Damian Pierce because I had him at 50-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year last year. But I actually like him as a running back.
Okay. Next one, I think we're all going to say love, and that is a guy that's looking for a new deal, and Jonathan Taylor with the Colts, Amal.
Love.
Yeah. Yeah, love. And it's running back you, running back factory there
love
with
him.
Wisconsin.
But I wouldn't pay him. Love him. Wouldn't pay him.
Of course you don't pay him. You'd be insane. Let's just look at usage. Let's look at carries. What do you guys think? What is he? This will be entering year number four for Jonathan Taylor. Is
right.
That correct? Just off the top of mind?
Yep.
Let's look at his usage and just how many times he's touched the ball. So he is, let's see.
He's got 756 carries in his career.
Okay, how many last year? How many games did he play? How many carries last year?
Last year, 232 carries. The previous year, he had 300-plus carries, 332 Ooh. Carries. Actually, I'm sorry, correction. Last year, he had 192. The previous year, 332. He's had quite a few touches. And then if you go with receptions last year as well, 28. So that equates to, 220 touches?
So he obviously wants a new deal. He's 24 years old. There are less than 0% chance I'd ever pay this dude. I mean, look, rookie deal. That's what rookie deals are for. Not for quarterbacks. Shout to Sam Bradford. Rookie deals were made for running backs. You bring them in, you play them for a few years, you run them out, and you get them the hell out of town. You don't find yourself in a situation. Tennessee, we knew the Titans were going to be in a situation where they were looking to dump that contract, and that is potentially, not a lock, but potentially a Hall of Famer in Henry. Get the hell out of my way, Jonathan Taylor. I got a rookie to draft.
It's like signing up for more car payments when your car is 200,000 miles on it. Instead of just instead of just buying a new, better version that you can run into the ground. For cheaper, by the way. Will be cheaper in the end.
He's going to be so tired and sore after that rookie deal, and then you're going to start paying him big money? Why?
Like, this guy's had 2 tune-ups and 4 brake jobs already.
Well, that's why I think Dobbins, if you look, he had over 700 carries in his career at Ohio State. Oof. I would never have drafted him that high in the second round just based on the mileage and the usage he had at Ohio State.
It's the one position that makes no sense. Dustin, you bring up a great point with the car analogy. It's like off the lot is where you want to pay these dudes. Once a running back starts to depreciate, that's when they really want to get paid. It makes no sense. Look, Saquon Barkley had an insane year last year. And in my estimation, it still makes no sense to pay him because he's going to be injured. No offense, Saquon.
Well, no, but to this point, there might need to be some sort of situation cap-wise where young running backs get more money because statistically the window is just so short that you're just not going to have great players wanting to play that position. And it's going to hurt the position over time.
That's fine. I mean, you could almost eradicate the position, right? I mean, to a certain extent, they've already done it from a cap standpoint and how much they pay the guys.
Yeah, they have to alter how they're paying these kids because 332 rushes in 2021, I would have traded them after that season.
Don't worry. Demoris Smith is the union head. The running backs will have to pay 20% to be on the field.
I mean, his average dipped from 5.5 that year down to 5. 5's a tremendous average. I'm not doubting. I just said I love Jonathan Taylor. I just would never pay him, with all due respect. Okay.
He made like $4 million his first year combined with everything, like with the bonus and all that. His base salary was $610,000.
Etienne played in every game last year after the injury. Like.
I want to love just because of his pass catching, but he's still just a like for me at this point in time.
Okay, I said love, but you guys, no, all good. I have no problem with like either. And then Derrick Henry, I think we'd all love, but just a weird situation for him right now. Would we agree?
Yeah, I mean, last year, the contract, the 4-year, $50 million contract, I think he's the best running back in the NFL. Him and Nick Chubb are 1A and 1B for me.
I love him despite the fact that he can't catch.
Imagine when that new general manager got to Tennessee. And you got some good barbecue, whatever the hell you do in Nashville.
Listen
or whatever.
Music.
Country music.
He
went to a Nashville FC game. He loves MLS, I'm sure. He listened to some Florida Georgia line, and then he took out his pay sheet, and he's like, "We owe a 29-year-old running back." What?
And
no wonder this general manager got fired.
And by the way, we have no other offensive weapons to support this guy on the outside or under center. The offense
and I
is
might
hand
be.
The ball to Derrick Henry.
All right, next, AFC West, Javonte Williams with Denver.
Loathe.
Loathe, okay.
There we go. I love it. I'm going to loathe him with them all just because I want to hate someone.
Yeah, too much love going on a Monday show. Loathe Javonte Williams. You're RB1 and you're loathed on Sharp Money. Get that bumper sticker.
Right? Did he have a fumble issue?
Didn't watch
a lot of Broncos games, if I'm being totally honest.
Don't worry. Neither did their coaching staff.
If you've heard this rant, you can guess my opinion about Javonte Williams. Very much replaceable. Isaiah Pacheco is the best example. Seventh rounder, best player in the Super Bowl. Let's see. Like for Pacheco?
I'm going love just based on where he was drafted and what he brings. Seventh rounder. That's the reason. This guy's like the lowest paid guy on the team in year two.
All right. Love, you're the arbiter here, big guy.
I'm looking at him in a vacuum, and I think if he was somewhere else, we would just like him.
That's
so
fair.
I'm just liking him.
That's fair.
Josh Jacobs is somewhere right now in that MJ pose where he's grabbing onto his shorts and he's bent over because he's tired. I mean, why do you think he's holding out and wants to get paid? Josh Jacobs touched the ball more than Derek Carr last year. That dude is cashed.
First of all, think about the number of carries. And then when the coach wants to make an adjustment, he's got to run another 30 yards to go talk to him.
Jacobs is basically 63 years old right now.
I don't think he's as good as everyone and himself. He thinks he is.
I think I like him.
Definitely
I like
him. Has a high opinion of
I don't,
himself.
I don't love, I like, I only like him.
Amal?
I like, yeah.
Yeah, like.
He's fine.
McDaniels is not a dude that's concerned with what his players think of him. That dude asking for money with a curmudgeon like McDaniels is not going to end well. And by the way, didn't he lead the league in rushing last year?
He did, 1,600 plus
yards.
He's
fine. Yeah. He's fine.
He's fine. That's what's wrong with the running back position. Pacheco, a seventh rounder, blows up in the Super Bowl. Josh Jacobs leads the league, and we're all just like, hey, he's fine. That's weird. Okay, we have plenty to go. We'll get to it in the next hour. Like, love, loathe with the running back position. Just a primer on where teams stand. Next, Aaron Halterman, professional handicapper and number one Reds fan, joins us next.